Now I want to talk to you about one other thing tonight, because it's fresh in my mind, and I've got to kind of get it out before it goes away. We're in the midst of a program now that's really, I think, sponsored by the Roman Catholic Archdiocese in the Dallas area, of the 40 Days for Life. Praying for 40 days, 24 hours each day, in front of the late-term abortion clinic. It's called something like Women's Surgical Services or something like that. You know, I mean, there's lots of flowers outside and beautiful trees. And it is a place where children are torn apart. It is a place where blood spills on the ground and it cries out to God like the blood in which when Cain killed Abel. And I went there to pray today for 12 hours because we're so small and not fervent enough that we could only muster 12 hours from 7 to 7 when the Orthodox Christians would gather to pray. And someone would gather hopefully for each hour. And I was there about 3.5, almost 4 hours. And Father Seraphim Hipsch has done yeoman work. He might have been there the entire time, save an hour or two. He left for a little while when I was there, so we made sure always somebody was there. And arriving there, it's just a street on Greenville, and it's just an office complex, and there's nice-looking trees and flowers, and everything is just normal. Very normal. But inside is death and is stench. That's the way sin is. Especially this sin of abortion. Because it's a sin that's called not a sin. And there are terrible numbers of victims of this sin. Which would be the mother, the doctors, the nurses, those who counsel and push towards abortion, perhaps the grandmother, perhaps the grandfather, the boyfriend, the husband, whoever, all involved in this terrible deed with blood on their hands and not completely knowing it, with their mind not knowing it. Their soul knows, but the mind is hardened so that they do not know. And I felt this when I first came there. It was kind of an interesting spiritual study. I almost said psychological, but it's not psychological. I was standing there on the sidewalk and feeling, praying. All is normal. The traffic's going by. It's loud. I can smell the exhaust, and the noise made me just about want to crawl out of my skin sometimes because I don't like noise. And 100 feet away from me, a doctor was killing someone. How many times he did it that day, I don't know. The entrance was, I could have looked and found out how many people went in. It didn't really matter to me. And I was struck by how much evil there is in the world and how it is covered up. And it was really quite overwhelming. Beginning to pray. First praying the Jesus prayer. I settled on, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon them. Meaning whoever them is. The people who are involved in abortion. Women, doctors, boyfriends, everybody. Sort of all inclusive. Because you really can't easily say a prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon the doctors and the nurses and the counselors and Planned Parenthood and NARAL. And, I mean, it gets too complicated. So instead, just have mercy on them. It was interesting to me, I don't know why, but I kept saying involuntarily, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Because I think we should feel a responsibility for all sin, even sin that we do not actually physically commit ourselves. The evil in the world shouldn't be here. And we should feel as Christians some sense of responsibility for us for it. Not in a neurotic way, but as a Christian, feeling that perhaps because of my negligence, I didn't help somebody that could have been helped, that could have avoided a sin, whether it be abortion or anything else. So I was praying the Jesus prayer and, you know, doing ropes, and then at each decade would say either it is truly meet or the prayer of the hours. And then at the end of each rope would pray this prayer that's on the back of this card, icon card of the Lament of Rachel that Father Demetrius Karelis has written. So at the end of each one. And at first there was a feeling of being overwhelmed, a feeling of being this abyss of evil, this cloud of demons that surrounded this place. Now, if I had spirituality, I would have seen them. I know they were there. But then that feeling started to dissipate because I was tired, you know. And prayer rope after prayer rope was starting to get tired and starting to lose focus. So maybe walk a little bit as I prayed and everything. And I thought, this is sort of like the human condition. Feel deeply about this terrible sin that is affecting and tearing so many souls. And yet, I could not pray 1 hour with attention. Perhaps a few minutes with attention, and then, you know, off like a butterfly, and then a few more minutes. But when the Lord said, could you not even pray 1 hour? I found that very instructive to me. And then also sang the small canon, the Paraklesis to the Theotokos, in the beautiful Byzantine melody. It really applies well to this problem because the Most Holy Theotokos is so pure. We cannot conquer this sin in our society without our own personal purity. Because if we are pure, God will hear our prayer. So it was really very applicable. And especially when I read the gospel in which the babe leaped in the womb of Elizabeth when the Baptist knew that his Lord had entered into the house. Very poignant. And then also there is a akathist that has been written for a woman who has aborted a child. This is a terrible problem in Russia. They say that your average childbearing woman in Russia has had 7 abortions. And so it's a very common procedure. And so it really is in very evocative and very blunt language. And I decided to pray this akathist. I have never had an abortion, quite obviously. But I feel responsible for abortion on some level that I can't explain. And so I decided I would pray this akathist for the women who are not praying it. Because we must pray that these women would be aware of their sin so that they be cleansed of it. Because whether they're aware of it or not, the sin negatively impacts their life. That's a real euphemism. It destroys their life. It shreds it. And so, praying this akathist, I prayed it in the name of the women who have had abortions and who have not yet come to understand what it has done to their souls and to the souls of their loved ones. And I found an interesting phenomenon when I was reading this akathist, because there were certainly verses in it that were just directly saying, like, I have killed a child, I am a murderer of a child. Those things, of course, did not apply to me directly. But I would say 90% of the prayers in the akathist I applied to myself directly, because they were completely true. And I'll just give you some examples of this akathist real quickly. I know I'm going on a little bit long today, but I really got kind of worked up today about this. It was a very difficult. It was very difficult and heavy prayer. It was really hard. There were times I felt extremely overwhelmed by the whole thing. And then I felt overwhelmed by how I wasn't overwhelmed all of a sudden. That was even worse. So here are some things from Ecos 4. It's actually a rather strange akathist in one way. I like to sing according to the Russian meter, you know, which is three sets of 4 verses each in a certain melody. But it's got a weird number. So what I would do is just repeat the verses so that it kind of fit. I don't know why they write Agathos like that. It kind of, it's a pet peeve of mine. But in repeating the verses, they became even more kind of entrenched. So for instance, Ecos 4. Have mercy on me who am heavy laden with self-willed sins. Have mercy on me who am darkened by passions. Have mercy on me who am carried away with pride. Have mercy on me who am consumed with envy. Have mercy on me who am filled with unrighteousness. Have mercy on me who desirest not, O thou who desirest not the death of a sinner. Have mercy on me, and then this is a specific one, the intentional murderer of my children. And then, the end of each ekos is this wonderful verse which shows proper repentance. You should have sadness when you repent. There should be pain. The world doesn't like pain. But we must feel pain about our sins. But in the midst of this pain, there is joy. So after detailing some of these things, and some of the other things that are said are quite explicit. Not explicit in a bloody or a macabre way, but very honest and brutal. And then after saying all these things, at the end of each ekos, O Lord, my Lord, my joy. Have mercy upon me who am fallen. This is how we should pray. Telling the Lord that we're full of unrighteousness. And yet being full of knowledge that He is our joy. That's how we should pray. And this Agathos is full of things like that. So this Agathos applies to you and me. Whether we're male, female, have had children or not, had an abortion or contemplated one or never even considered one. It applies to us. So that's my little travelogue from today. It was really a very wonderful and intensely sad and intensely joyous opportunity, privilege to be able to pray. And in our small community of Orthodox Christians, mustering a small number of people, most everybody I recognize, to pray and to beg the Lord that this sin would be expunged from our country and from the world, that people would become righteous, would be aware of their sins and would have a sense of compunction about their sins. So I recommend to you sometime that you take this, find this Agathos. I'll get some more copies of it and pray it and apply it to you because it applies to all of us. So may God help you in all things.